This is 30 Minutes with GSW, a weekly podcast from Benga Samuel Wemimo Ministry International. May your hearts receive the engrafted Word of God and your walk deepened with the Holy Spirit as you listen.
I'll be speaking on the topic homologia and the programming. I'll still speak on it some other time when I have deeper knowledge. But over the night, the Lord began to speak to me about certain things at around 2 a.m. And he said to me, "Do you know why Jacob could never have failed in life despite all the trials he went through? Do you know why there was no way he could have failed? Even despite himself, despite all his bad behavior, bad character, do you know why Jacob could never have failed?" And I began to ponder. And the Lord said to me, "He was programmed to succeed." And I said, "By who?" And the Lord said, "By the promise I made to Abraham. I gave Abraham my word that I'm going to take him to a city, that I will bless him and I will bless his children." He said, "From the moment I spoke to Abraham, my word began a chain of events, a programming that ensured that his children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren shall fulfill the tenets of my word. They will unfailingly fulfill it, for I have spoken. In spite of their natural and individual proclivities and behavioral patterns, my word has programmed them to fulfill destiny." He then said that you will notice that in the lineage of Abraham, there are some who did not act according to this programming. Sometimes the programming will skip a generation. Sometimes the programming will skip two generations. But then it will continue. He said, "Do you know why?" So I kept quiet at this point, because it is true that when you look at the lineage of Abraham, there are some who are children of Abraham, grandchildren of Abraham, who, despite the word of God to Abraham, they didn't follow in the light. For example, the Bible said Abraham, after Isaac, he had other children with Keturah. You notice that the children of Keturah, the blessing of God upon Abraham did not make them follow that programming word that God spoke to Abraham. They just went their way. They were not part of the covenant. However, their father has received the blessing. And if a father received the blessing and the father has 20 children, all the 20 children are supposed to share, to be partakers of that blessing. How come that word of God that has been set to program every member of Abraham's gene that he will produce, his children, that has set them for success, how come the program suddenly became selective? And it was selecting some and rejecting some. Why couldn't all of them fulfill that destiny together? Because you would think, in my own human estimation, that one person becoming a whole nation will take a slower time than 12 people becoming a whole nation. If all of Abraham's children, including Ishmael, all of them, if all of them were programmed by the word of God, by the spoken word of God over Abraham, then all of them coming together will have quickly multiplied all over the earth, and they will have brought the result in quickly. I felt if I was the one, that would be the way to go. How come Only one child, Isaac, was the one that was saddled with the power of that programming word, and he was the only one that carried it through. God said to me, "Do you know the name that I called Isaac?" He said, "I called Isaac the child of the promise." He said, "So every time he remembers who he was, he remembered that he wasn't born like other children. He has a special edict, a special seal upon his destiny that guarantees that he will be the one to carry through." Oh, so I said, "Okay, Isaac." Jacob and Esau, what about the two of them? Of course, Esau went ahead and became a great man, built a city and all that. But Jacob didn't really fit in. Where? And the Lord said, "Oh, have you forgotten that he was the one that received the blessing?" Ah, he said his father gave him the blessing. Therefore, he was the chosen one that will fulfill the word. I said, "Oh, okay. So, what about the 12 children of Jacob? Where did we see Jacob selecting Joseph or electing Judah? All of Jacob's children, many of them were, to be candid, you know their character. They are not so holy the way they behaved. But yet, you will notice that at this point, the 12 of them that Jacob had, they were bound. Unlike the other children, when Jacob had these 12 children, he did not select only one to take up the mantle of continuity. By this time, all 12 of them shared because they bound their destinies together before they were taken to Egypt. So all 12 of them were controlled by the same programming. They had to live together. They had to do it together. There was no more separation, no more departure, no more generational departure, no more individual or momentary departure. All of them were bound together to fulfill destiny in spite of all the vicissitudes of life that Jacob faced in raising those 12 children. We know the story of Joseph. We know how things worked out. But eventually, at the end of the day, the 12 of them carried the power of that programming further. So now we understand that it is possible for one person to carry it. But at a point in their history, God multiplied it in such a way that 12 of them were carrying this same vision that God gave their great-great-grandfather. And you will then notice the words that were pronounced upon them. The word of Abraham, the word of God to Abraham was upon their lives. And then when Jacob was going to die, he began to speak to them. You will then see the difference between when the promises of God had been made and when a parent decides that he was going to judge people by character. And then he judged them by character. And he began to talk to this one. He said, "Oh, Reuben, this happened to you. Oh, you." And then he began his blessings from Judah. He gave him the scepter. And then to the other younger children, because he felt the first two, in fact, the first three, they behaved in such a way that they deserved to be punished. However, that thing did not cause a departure for them. They were still bound to the point where, at a point later point in their history, they were brought back into the fullness of God's promise. Moses restored Levi by fiat because he was from the tribe of Levi and Levi was under a curse. So he restored them and he put them in charge of everything that we can call worship in Israel. So he brought them out of a curse. A cursed person can never stand before God to be a priest. From the moment God has called you forth, the blessing of the Lord has come upon you. And the same was the ransom that was for the first two children too, Reuben, especially that one that was basically skipped. The blessing of the Lord also came to him. Why? Because of the programming of the word of God. The word of God trumps any word of man. And now here is where I'm going. I want you to please stay with me. I was talking to a friend, and the friend said to me, he himself, his wife, and three children had lived in a rented apartment in Lagos for about 15 years. And then one day, they bought their own house. So when they bought the house, they moved in. They moved in completely to the house. They lived there for like a week. Then they were looking for a new church because the new house was quite far from their church. And then he said one Sunday, while they were still looking for a church closer to the house, they had to still attend the old church. So they attended the old church, had a whole church service. After the church service, it was like 4 p.m. or 3 p.m. because he's a pastor, so he had to do some counseling and other things in church after service. And then it was time to go home. He says, all of them got in the car and they began to say, oh, we need to eat. So they just said, oh, and because it was their former area, oh, let's go down the street there and get food from the eatery. So they went, they got food, they sat down at the restaurant, they ate. And after eating, it was close to 5 o'clock. They got in the car. The wife was already dozing. The children were already tired because they just had a meal after a long day. So they were very tired. He said he just started the car and he drove. And next thing, he got home, he parked the car, and then he woke his wife up and he said, oh, we are home. And then the wife woke up, the children woke up, and all of them looked at him and said, Daddy, this is not our house, this is our former house. He drove them, he subconsciously drove the whole family to the rented apartment that he had lived for 15 years. Because his mind has not fully registered that they now have a new apartment that is theirs. And he was tired. So it just the subconscious just took over and took them home. So when they got there, when the wife woke up, everybody started laughing. He said, it was like, oh my God, I have to drive hours all the way back to our new house. So he said, okay, Sunday, light traffic, he was able to get home. And then he said to me that he realized at that moment that it is possible for somebody to become born again, to be born again, full of the Holy Spirit, and yet to allow the programming, the homologia, the words of the curse of Adam to control the person's life. That the person consistently would walk in error, even though the person has been given a new life, complete new life in Christ, and a new reality that he can consciously walk in, if only he would bind himself to that new life consciously. You have to consciously tie yourself to this new life. The way you are bound to the old life automatically, and you have now come out of it, you cannot be listless. You have to be deliberate about building a new subconscious so that in the next few years, it becomes so natural to you to do the right thing and to stay the course of Christ. And this is important for those who are grappling with family patterns, who are grappling with DNA issues, who are grappling with certain health issues that you know is hereditary. That you know, my father had this, my mother had this, there's a family pattern. Everybody, every male children in the family, this is how they behave. Female children in the family, this is how they go. We know it in our history. Many people, they will say in their family they don't live more than 40. Some will say in their family they don't get educated beyond a certain point because it is how their programming for several generations has been. However, it is not right, if you are being candid, that a person, two people come from the same family, and one of them got born again, and the other did not get born again. And the one that got born again is experiencing the same reality as the one that didn't get born again. I was at a church one time, and the pastor was celebrating his 50th birthday. This was the days when I was still a PA. It was a zonal pastor with the ministry where I used to be. And this man, when his siblings were called forth to come and celebrate with him, we started hearing strange names. All of them were Muslims, all of them. And none of them converted to Christianity. He was the only one that became a Christian out of all his father's 9 children. And all the younger ones came to church just to celebrate that birthday with him. And he stood and he said to them that day, in front of the whole congregation, inside the church where he pastored, he said, "Today I have only one thing to ask my siblings. I'm 50, and I have laid an example as a firstborn for all of them to follow since I became born again when I was 20. I've never made a demand of them before. By the grace of God, I sponsored all of them to school. By the grace of God, I was there for all their weddings. By the grace of God, I became a pillar upon whom all of them leaned." He said, "But today I'm asking them one thing, to do one thing for me, and I want them to do it willingly." He said, "This is my birthday request, that my own siblings who are here would give their life to Christ. And I want them to do it willingly and drop the former religion from today. And not because of anything, simply because I've shown them the glory and the power. They've benefited so much of Jesus in my life. But that all of them, most of them are even attending churches, or they began to do Christian stuff, but none of them had openly, deliberately renounced it because they wanted to be faithful to our father." He said, "But today, our father died some years ago as an imam, but today I'm showing them that I'm the priest of Jesus. Our father was a priest in another religion, of another order." And so they were like, what would the world say? Children of imam will now become Christians. So most of them didn't want to openly declare for Jesus. He said, "But I am a priest in the order of Melchizedek now, in the order of Christ, and I want to bring my siblings in. If any of you would like to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior today, that is the gift I want. I will pray with you, you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you will become independent. You will no longer have to depend on me. I'm 50 years old now. I will show you the path of life. I will show you the path of salvation. You will walk in it. You will stop eating the fruit of this tree. You will become a tree of righteousness yourself." You know, somebody who just turned 50, his wife was there, his children were there, the big pastors in our province were there. It was the sermon, the vote of thanks he was supposed to give when he made that announcement. And one by one, his siblings came forward. They received Christ. It was the one that laid out on them. He filled them with the Holy Ghost. And then he said to everybody, he said, "I'm doing this in front of the whole world because when I'm celebrating my 60th birthday, this will be in 10 years' time. Each of these ones that you're looking at, some of them are still in the university, some are just graduated, some are already married, and some are working." He said, "Each of them, at now, they are all average in their abilities. And some of them were dealing with serious life issues." He said, "In 10 years, when I'll celebrate my 60th, I'll invite everybody. I'll still be alive. I will show you what Jesus can do in 10 years." Ladies and gentlemen, that 10 years was 2020, 2024. He celebrated the 60th, but this time as a provincial pastor. He had also been promoted to a provincial level somewhere in Victoria Island. All his siblings came. And he invited many of those who are still alive and around when he celebrated his 58th. I didn't go for the event. But the video of the event was sent to me. And the person that sent it was a former PA, was, uh, yeah, Both of us were PAs at the time, but I'm no longer a PA, so he was still a PA. So he then reminded me, said, "Do you remember this pastor?" I said, "Yes." Say, "Look at all the siblings. Each and every one of them came out to share their testimony of 10 years' walk with Jesus and the kind of progress they had made in their personal lives. In fact, six of them are already pastors." Now, that is what homologia and programming is. When you set somebody on another path, and then you see them with the Holy Ghost and with the word that binds them to the edicts of the Spirit, if they would but walk in that path, not go back to the old programming, not deviate, not be looking for quick results. If he does not give me this, I'm not serving again. The faithfulness aspect of Christianity is also the learning aspect of it. If you are going to learn Christ, you will also have to learn faithfulness. You will learn to come out of give me, give me, give me Christianity. You will come into the process of learning how to become like him and then how to command realities like him. And that is why Jesus had disciples. And then the disciples became apostles that they may teach us the way. If it was just to pray, if Christianity was all about pray, fast, and call the name of the Lord, and you'll be saved. If that was all Christianity, then it would not require a process. Anybody can just say, in the name of Jesus, and move on. But no, there has to be a teaching, a leaning, a leading. There has to be a culture. There has to be a faithful, deliberate process of learning Christ, of binding yourself, tying yourself, of tying yourself to the realities of Christ so that you can walk in the reality of the one who has called you with a holy calling. Don't forget that the word of God and the power of God is available for you. In this season, as you look at your life and you look at 2025, and you think of all the glorious possibilities that God took you through last year, remember his promises. Not the promises of, "I will give you food and butter and bread." No, 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 no. Those ones are supposed to be the fruits of your tree. Let me say that again. Yesterday, I was driving from Lagos to Ibadan. And as I was driving, automatically I do this. I'll be praying in the spirit, and when I pray in the spirit, I begin to make confessions, affirmations, homologia. I'll begin to speak the things that God said, not the things I want. No, those are requests. Those are different. The things that God said concerning me is word that I have heard, is instructions that came to me by prophecy, or in the place of prayer. I shared with us when I was in Scotland how the pastor of the Junction Church walked up to me, just walked up to me and stood in front of me, and he began to prophesy into my life. And he was speaking. He said, "New houses." He said, "Daddy." He said, "New houses." He said, "More children." He said so many other things. One of the prophecies came to pass this year. I wasn't expecting that was how it will come to pass, but it came to pass. And I am very conscious of prophecy. So when the man in August said, "As I stand before you today, I see new houses. Pastor Baringa, I see new houses. I see more children. I see this." He's a white man. He didn't know me from anywhere. And he was prophesying straight directly to me. And when he prophesied, I was like, wow, it's been a while since. It's been years that somebody came to me to prophesy. Of course, because of my work and because of what I do, most people don't even bother to think of a guy in the place of professor that they will come to me. But of course, because he is not like in the fellowship, he does not look at me and say, "GSW." So he came to me and saw me as a brother and just prophesied. The prophecies, when I heard them, I didn't dismiss them because I know they came from a pure source. I listened to them, and every day when I pray, I will speak them forth. I will call them forth. I'm not somebody who believes in people People having many houses everywhere. I used to wonder, okay, how many places will I sleep? Even the house that I sleep on one side of the bed. I'm not somebody that jump about on the bed, scattering everywhere like my daughter. So what is the point of having a house that nobody is living in or renting it out that somebody is showing? I never had that mindset, but it gave me the prophecy. So I lambanoed it. But lambanoing it, the word came to me by prophecy. It wasn't, I didn't just wake up to have a wishful thinking towards it. You see the difference now? Somebody is sitting there, you are thinking of something. It's different from when the word of God comes to you. The word of God came to me. Now that word is homologia, is the word of God. It is my duty then to repeat it, to bind myself. That is to tell myself every day, this is the word of God concerning you, GSW. And the word of God does not fail. Therefore, the new houses are coming to you. The new children are coming to you. And by that, by so saying, spiritual children all from all over the world, that also has happened. A lot of people from strange places began to reach out to me. And all of them will say, the Lord said, I should come and meet you. I want you to be like a father to me. I want to be a mentor. I want you to take you under your wings. I want to be a protege. And I said, even though it has been happening before, but when this man prophesied, it was as the word of God, as a fresh brook of water opened unto me in order for me to drink and affirm the things that God has said to me before. If I depart from it, if I don't bind myself to it, if I continue in the old path, if I do not adjust myself to fit into this new prophecy, when the opportunity to move to a new house came, I could have resisted. I could have said, no, I will fight this thing. I don't want to move. And if I did that, I would have been fighting against prophecy, you see. But because the prophecy has come ahead, I didn't even think twice. I said, oh, prophecy is here. Glory to God. I'm a full of prophecy. I just moved it. I learned that unless you train yourself to walk with the realities of Christ, to walk in the direction that He's leading, you might have promises that are pending, word of God that has been spoken over your life. But the way you are living your life, the way you are thinking, the way you are acting, you are behaving contrary, like Jacob, contrary to the promise. The one thing that God did for Jacob in order for him to adjust happened in the book of Genesis 35. Many of you remember the story of Bethel. In order for Jacob to fulfill destiny and become Israel, in order for him to become a nation, you remember what God told Abraham was that I will make you a great nation. That great nation was going to be pronounced upon Jacob, but he was not behaving like a great nation. He was behaving like somebody that is accursed. That everything about him, there was no progress, there was no joy, there was no life. He was always lying, cheating, everything. So he wasn't behaving according to the word of God. So what did God then do? God then encountered him at Bethel, and God forced him, broke one of his legs. God forced him into fulfillment of prophecy. After breaking his leg, I said, you must bless me. Then he received the homologia. Did you notice that he didn't before Genesis 29 was the one that said, bless me. If you make my way prosperous, if you do this for me, if you do that for me. Genesis 29. He was the one pronouncing what he wanted. And the Lord did not answer him. But this time around, if you look at Genesis 35, you notice that it was he that now said, bless me. He didn't say, give me 10%. I will give you 10%. He didn't do that. He asked for blessing. Word that came from the pits, from the belly of God. That was what he asked for. He asked for homologia. And then the angel said, today you are Israel. You see? The angel that began to pronounce, Jacob now took forward. That was what protected his 12 children. That was what led to the nation of Israel. So you notice that if God has spoken, if you just confess it but you don't act in that direction, you are going to be walking contrary to the programming and the desire of God. If God speaks and you do not bind yourself to it deliberately, taking deliberate actions towards what God has said, you'll find yourself again failing to fulfill prophecy. But if God speaks and you immediately alter your course that this is what God has said, let me shift my gaze, you will notice how effortlessly you will fall into the fullness of that prophecy without any stress. This is my Christmas gift that God gave to me this morning. I'm deliberately sharing it with you. I declare that this Christmas season is a Christmas of joy for you and your household. I declare healing across both. Somebody is here. The Lord said, I should tell you that wait on me for 3 days. This person needs a total reset of his body. It's a male. There's a problem in your body. You need your body a total reset. The Lord told me this before I started teaching. He said, 3 days fast for this person, and your body will be reset. Fast with breaking with water and some fruits, any fruit, but not too much. Don't gorge on it, just a little for strength. 3 days, I will reset your body. There's somebody else with eye issue. The Lord said unto me, he said, tell her that she can see. Tell her that she can see, but she must look. She must look in order to see. This person will understand, but if you don't, send me a message. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Glory to God for a wonderful year we've had. I thank everybody. I believe next week we'll then be able to do, I intended before to just say thank you and mention all the leaders. God bless everybody. We still have one more title message this year, and we are going to do that. If you are blessed by this morning's teaching, please submit and shout, glory!
Glory!
Glory to God. We trust you've been blessed by the Spirit-inspired words. Do come back for more episodes. You can also visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com for more inspirational content and teachings. God bless you.